We'd like to have today's shir be a schus refuah shleima for one of our dear members, Jay Greichholz, who is recovering from what I understand from doing something which is a very big mitzvah, actually, donating a kidney. There's a discussion in the Paiskim, but why are we not all mechuyev to do so? For all of us that have functioning, healthy body parts, why are we not mechuyev to give over? That's a discussion. But nonetheless, agreed by all, it's a very, very big mitzvah and a very big schus. We wish him a refuah shleima. We miss him. And we hope that he gets better very quickly, and he joins us again. And today's learning should be a chus for his refuah shleima, so he can get back on his feet to continue doing the great work that he does as an askin in the community, as a member of our shir, and we wish him a complete refuah shleima. In Parshas Vayeshev, we read the story of Yosef and his brothers, and if you read the parsha simply, you get the attitude, you get the feeling that the brothers were a bunch of gangsters, mobsters. And Yosef was himself somewhat of a troubled youth. And we start to pass judgment on people that are much greater than we'll ever be. And I always tell people, before you read Parshas Vayeshev, just remember who we're referring to in the Parsha. You know, we get this feeling, we read to the Parsha, we start picking sides, and who's good and who's bad, and, no, I would never do that with my brother. No, God forbid I would do that. You know, like as if we're greater than thou type of attitude. Let's just, when we read to the Parsha, it's important to keep in mind that we are talking about the Shiftei Ka. We are talking about Yosef HaTzadik, people that the Torah calls Yosef HaTzadik, the Torah doesn't call us Tzadikim. So as much as we feel very righteous all the time, we have to realize that we're dealing with people that are much greater than we will be. And we just have to keep in mind, whatever they did, or what makes sense didn't make sense, that's not necessarily our job. Our job is what we can learn from the entire story. In the beginning of the parasha, the Torah opens up and tells us, Eli told us, Yaakov, these are the children of Yaakov, and it talks about only one of his children, Yosef. So the question that many Achrenim are bothered with, if you're going to tell me the children of Yaakov, tell me all his children. Start from the top and work your way through. The Torah starts off, Eilu tells us Yaakov, and only tells us one child. Just tells us Yosef. So I had the pleasure of being away for Shabbos, which is always a chus to get to go away for Shabbos. So I got to hear a drasha Friday night from a classmate of mine, Rabbi Neuberger, in the White Shul in Far Rockaway. So he said over this kasha, and he said a pshat from the Chafetz Chaim. He said the Chafetz Chaim explained that the Pasuk Eilu told us Yaakov is not referring to the physical children of Yaakov. Told us he doesn't mean the children. Told us he means the occurrences. If you want to see what is going to happen to the Jewish people, if you want to see in the future what is going to be the Jewish people's plan, look at Yosef. That's the answer. Whatever happened to Yosef is going to be the future for Klal Yisrael. Maisa ava simla banim, whatever happened, that whole trial and tribulation that Yosef went through, the ups and the downs of Yosef, that's going to happen to us as a nation. So the Pasuk is telling us, Eilu told us Yaakov, it's not telling us the physical children of Yaakov. It's telling us the future occurrences and events that are going to take place to Yaakov, which is Klal Yisrael. Then the Pasuk tells us, Yosef, look after Yosef, follow Yosef, see what he does, his ups and downs, his galus, his suffering, his pain. And yet, says the Chafetz Chaim, all those sufferings along the way, later on, we saw was all good. Going out to Mitzrayim was for a good thing, and being in jail was good, and everything was good. So too with the Jewish people, when we have these sad events and bad occurrences, keep in mind, it's just like Yosef, the same way, all those apparently negative and sad and despairing situations ultimately turned out for the benefit. So too with Klal Yisrael, all our golos and all our steps until we get to the final geula is going to be, one day will be revealed how it's for our benefit. And it's even more so when you look into Rashi later on in the parasha. If you look in Rashi, Rashi tells us that when Yosef gets sold, he gets sold to Orchas Yishmaelim. And Rashi points out that this is special, because normally the Aravim, the carry the wagon drivers, they usually carry nefet, vitarin, things that smell bad. But because of Yosef, they smell something that smelled good, so he didn't have to smell something negative. So Mefarshim asks, you think Yosef at this point is concerned about how he's going to smell or what he's smelling? He's on his way to being sold, he has no idea where he is, he's in a strange land, being sold into slavery, you think his biggest concern is, you know, the smell of the caravan that he's in? So I believe the answer is very much based on this Chafetz Chaim. The answer is that many times when we're in suffering, we're in our lowest point, we just need a little bit of a window, a little bit of a hole from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to show, I haven't forgotten you, I'm still with you. So although Yosef was in complete despair, he didn't know where he was sold, didn't know what his future was going to be, but when he saw that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him something, something to hang on to, a little bit, something to show, I'm still with you, I have not forsaken you, I didn't forget you. A small thing. Many times in life when we're in the worst of places, sometimes we just need a little bit to show, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows us, it's not over yet, I still have you. I'm hanging on to you by a little bit. This little sweet smell was what Yosef felt was, okay, Hashem has not forsaken me. And this is so true in our own Golus, in Golus HaTzibur, and our own private issues that we go through. Many times we feel complete despair, lost, complete darkness. Then Hashem throws us a little bit. No major Yeshua, no great salvation, just a little bit to show, listen, I'm still here, don't worry, I haven't forsaken you. That sometimes can be the greatest nechama. And just like Yosef experienced that, so too we as a nation experience that many times when we feel that all is lost, because Baruch Hu saves us a little bit. But we have to keep our eyes open sometimes. We don't want to see it. We only want to see the negative. We don't look at the small positive. Because in our minds, if it's not fixed, if it's not completely fixed, it's still broken. Torah is telling us that's not the case. Keep in mind that sometimes when you have a little bit of a connection to Baruch Hu, he's showing that he's still with us. Pasuk tells us an introduction to Yosef's life. The Pasuk tells us that he was a narrow. But it tells us, what was Yosef's claim to fame? So Rashi quotes a Medrash. He was very meticulous about combing his hair. That's the great praise for Yosef HaTzadik. He used to like the way he looked. So over Shabbos, I saw a Chassidish Sefer. I know all the Sefer to look at, so I had to look at it. Not that I wouldn't have looked at it otherwise, but he's bothered with the following kasha. He says, I don't understand. Why does the Torah feel the urge to tell us that Yosef did this Avera of being so careful about how he looks? Why is that so important? So he says, because the Torah is trying to give us an idea of how is it that Yosef was able to sin with Avera of Lashon Hara and Rechilos that he ratted out on his brothers. Where did this come from? So he says, the way the Yetzer Hara works, it doesn't just tell you one day, you know what? For the last 20 years you've been shayim at Torah mitzvahs, you know what? Tomorrow, go into Burger King. Yetzer Hara is much smarter than that. So what the Yetzer Hara does, he tells you, you know what? This is a small Avera. This is a Derabbanan. This is a machlokes hapoiskim. There are people that are lenient. So what? Break this. And he says, okay, it's not the end of the world. I have 20 rabbanim that say it's okay anyways, although that's not the accepted custom, and it's only nisad rabbanim, and you start making cheshbonos, because you say to yourself, this is not a biggie. So the way the Yetzer Hara works, he gets you to start to do the small ones, and once you're in the mode of breaking, you end up doing the big ones as well. So he says, that's what the Torah is telling us over here with Yosef. How did Yosef get to Lashon Hara Rechilos? Because he started with something small. Being the top with his hair, whatever prohibition that is. That's where it started. Slowly, slowly. And when you start slowly, you find yourself in engulfed in bigger averus. That's the way he wants to explain it. Okay, interesting idea. But again, most Mepharshim assume that what Yaakov did, or what Yosef's tattletaling with Lashon Hara Rechilos, was justified under some letter of the law that he had permission to do so. We mentioned here many times, I'll mention it again, not that I understand it, but there's a famous Shlach Kaddish. The Shlach Kaddish says that what the brothers were doing, although they were technically doing these Asurim, they were doing Gidei Rayis, and they were doing Eivim and Achai, but they were using what's called Sefer Yetzirah made things. They were using meat that was created through a Sefer called Sefer Yetzirah, which the Gemara discusses, and I guess they were living with women that were made through Sefer Yetzirah also, I don't know what that means. And there was a Lamda Shemachloik between Yosef and his brothers, is whether or not things that are created through Sefer Yetzirah, are they prohibited or not. That's one of the Limud's Chosim. It's quoted by the Pesachei Tshuva on Yeridei. It's brought down such a pshat, but I don't know what that means exactly, but that's one of the pshatim that they say. The Pasuk tells us that Yisrael Ohav Yosef Mikol Banov. This week's parasha, there's a lot of lessons for parents, and I believe grandparents as well. The Pasuk tells us that Yaakov loved Yosef from all his children. Why did he have this special love connection to Yosef? So Rashi brings down two pshatim. One of the pshatim that Rashi says, because he was Ben Zekunim, he was his oldest. The Ramban asks, he wasn't the oldest. There were other children that were born much later. So the Ramban says an interesting idea. He says, every parent has one kid that they choose to be their caregiver when they get older and are able to take care of themselves. Every parent chooses one kid. I don't know, maybe it's, I don't know how the kid wins or loses. Sometimes it's just the kid that lives closest to the parents or the kid, whatever it is. But the Ramban says every father and mother, they pick one child who's going to be their caregiver. Yaakov picked Yosef to be his caregiver. He was going to be the one that was going to take care of him, help him through the old years, take him to his doctor's appointments, you know, whatever he needs to do. And that was Yaakov, that was Yosef, and that's why he loved him from all his children. Rashi brings down a second shot that all the Torah that he learned in the Beis Medrash of Shem Vever, he gave over to Yaakov, which is why he loved him so much. So the Kli Yaakov asks the obvious question. Why didn't he give over his Torah to all his sons? He had a lot of boys. Can I hurry? A lot of sons to learn Torah with. So why did he only give over the Torah of Shem Ve'Eved to specifically Yosef and not to his other brothers? So I quote you the words of the Kli Yaakov, not that I claim to understand it, I'm just quoting you the words. Says the Kli Yaakov, Elevada lefisha kol bonav ma'asu b'chachmais. They were repulsed. They were disgusted by the wisdom of Yaakov. They didn't bother going to hear what Yaakov had to say. No interest. They weren't interested. Yosef wanted to hear what his father had to say. So it sounds like from the Kli Yaakov that your brother just had no interest in learning from Yaakov. Could care less what Yaakov had to say. Now you say to me, how could it be? I'll tell you, this is not a new problem with Klal Yisrael. I heard from reliable people that told me, I had a colleague of mine whose father learned in Radin Yeshiva by the Chafetz Chaim. He said when the Chafetz Chaim gave a shmuz, there was not even a minion of people there. The Chafetz Chaim gave a shmuz. Can you imagine if the Chafetz Chaim came today to give a shmuz? It would be 100,000 people. When the Chafetz Chaim gave a shmuz around, he barely had a minion. When the Chaim Shmuel Levis used to give a shmuz in the mirror, everyone left. The place was empty. So you say, how could it be? The answer is, this is not a new problem in Klal Yisrael. We have this idea sometimes, we don't need to hear it. We know better, we have our own way, we want to do our way, we don't need to listen to this way. The Kliyaka is telling us that the others had the same attitude. They just weren't interested in learning, hearing what Yaakov had to say. Now, I don't know why. I would say a pshat, but I'm not sure if it's kfirah, so maybe I'll hold back. But I think the pshat could be that they had the attitude of, that's old and this is new Torah. You know, you have your Messiah from Shem Beva, we have our own Messiah. Whoever created the Shvatim's Messiah, they wanted to learn their own way, whatever that means. But that's what the Kliyaka writes, that they had no interest in learning from Yaakov. Therefore, Yaakov only built a closer relationship with Yosef because he built a relationship over time. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky explains it slightly different. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky explains the reason why he taught specifically to Yosef because what Torah did he learn in Shem Beva? Everyone asks, what did they learn in Shem Beva? They learned Kivega, they learned Ktsais, what did they learn? The answer is yes, they learned all that, I guess. And they also learned what Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky calls the survival in the Galus. Shem Beva lived in a time where there was no one good. I mean, he was the son of Neich, there was no one good. Shem put himself in a base marriage, locked himself up from the outside world, and just sat and learned Torah all day. Yaakov learned from that, how do you live a Torah life in a non-Torah society? That was something Yosef needed to hear, because Yosef was going to go down to Mitzrayim. He needed to learn, how do you live in a non-Torah place? So that's why specifically, says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, he gave it over to Yosef, because Yosef needed to learn this lesson of when you're not going to be in Eretz Yisrael, you're not going to be surrounded by Yaakov and the Shvatim, you're going to be around non-Jews, or non-Jewish ideology. How do you survive? And that was the Torah that Yaakov gave over to Yosef. That's the way Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky explains it. I guess. He knew something more. He knew that what was going to happen. I say that from this Kliyaka, we learn a very important lesson in parenting. You know, you want to build a relationship with your child. Everyone wants to have relationships with their children. So everyone tries to figure out, how do I build a relationship with my child? What's the best way? You know, do I be his friend? I don't want to be his parent. I don't want to be too mean. I don't want to be not so mean. I don't want to walk him over. Everyone's trying to figure out how to deal with it. So I believe the Torah is giving us somewhat of an insight that one of the great ways to build a relationship with a child is through Torah. Now again, this also becomes tricky because when a parent learns with their son, many times it becomes also, your son's not doing what he's supposed to, then the father gets upset and the kid gets upset and you try doing homework with your kid. It becomes very complicated. I totally understand. But I think a relationship between a father and a son or any parent and a child that's void of Torah can't be a meaningful relationship. If it can't be that you discuss Torah and Torah is at a focal point of some of your conversations, then I believe it's not a full-blown relationship. Again, you don't have to stuff it down your child's throat. Every time your kid walks through the door, tell me about Torah. The kid's going to be turned off. There's no question. It has to be done in a normal setting where the child feels that it's coming from love. And I want to talk to you about learning. I'm not forherring you. I'm not trying to test you. I'm not trying to make you be on the spot to have to say the Torah. But a loving place of Torah to see to build a relationship. I believe it's not only true with parents. I believe it's true with grandparents as well. If a person is trying to build a relationship with their grandchildren, it's important to have a Torah part of a relationship. I remember as a child, my grandfather was a Talmud Muvik from Rav Salavechik. So whenever he'd come visit us, we would do three things. The first thing he did was put in the Yartzeit Shurim, and we'd listen like 3 hours for the Yartzeit Shurim. Now, I was 9 years old at the time, and the Yartzeit Shurim are in Yiddish, so I understood nothing. Zero. Garnished. I had no idea what Rav Salavechik was saying. It was in Yiddish. I was 9 years old. But he put that on for a while. Then we talked about what I was learning in school, how much was I learning at 9 years old. And then we talked about the Mets. He was a big Met fan. I was a big Met fan, so we spoke about the Mets. So we had all those three components involved in our conversations. And I thought that was very important. You show that everything is important, but you can also have a normal side. I think it's important for grandparents and grandchildren to be able to interact with other things besides for Torah. But I think the Torah is giving us a little bit of a hint over here that that's an important focal point in a relationship. It doesn't have to be a faher. What did you learn? And what did you get in your last test? You know, something nice in an open way where we feel that we can grow together, I think is a very successful way of building a meaningful relationship. There's a famous Ara Chaim HaKadosh. Huh?
He had no relationship with everybody else.
It sounds like it's an integral part of a relationship. Yeah, the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says a very big chiddush in this last week's parish as well. I'll quote it again. The Aruch Chaim HaKadosh is bothered with the question, what was the idea of taking Yosef and putting him in a pit? What do you gain by that? He felt guilty. You don't want to kill him, so you put him in a pit. And that's better. Why? What happens in a pit? So Aruch Chaim HaKadosh has a very famous comment where he writes that the gain by putting him in a pit is that now we're no longer dealing with the world of Bechira. He says over here, because animals have no Bechira. Animals work from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if an animal were to kill Yosef, that's a sign from Hashem that Yosef deserved. If one of the brothers were to shoot him, that's not a riot that he deserved, because we have the power of Bechir. So this is a very controversial Aruch Chaim, where the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh assumes that anything that an animal does is not based on Bechir. It's not because the animal is nuts and the animal is crazy. It's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the animal to be mazik a person. So when a person gets damaged via an animal, according to Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, that's clearly a simon HaShemayim. As opposed to when Reuven kills Shimon with a gun, that's because Reuven decided to use his Bechira to impact the outcome of events. Yeah, this is a...
That
Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted that outcome.
That's right. This is a very, very big Aruch Haim HaKadosh when talking about Musar and Ashkav. I'm just throwing it out just to make the tumult that everyone should be aware of this famous Aruch Haim where he discusses this idea of this idea that the Aruch Haim HaKadosh uses that animals are not Bali Bechira as opposed to humans being Bali Bechira. They point out, the Pasuk says that after this whole story, the brothers sit down to eat bread. What does the bread have to do with anything? So they point out there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin that says a bezin that kills is not allowed to eat the whole day. So that the whole day they thought they were going to kill him, so they're not allowed to eat. Once they realize they're not killing him, they're putting him in a pit. So no, they were able to eat breakfast now. Because now is the first time they were allowed to eat, because until now, they were going to be a bezin that kills, and a bezin that kills is not allowed to eat a whole day. They learned that also somewhere. Someone told that to them.
They were so frum that they wouldn't eat, but
they held it. We'll get to that in a second. So the Pasuk tells us that when Reuven returns, he finds his brothers not there. Reuven is heartbroken. And Rashi says, Reuven, where was Reuven? So Rashi's second shot was he was busy doing tshuva for what he did with mixing of the bets. Rav Soloveitchik points out two things. First of all, he asks, he says, what was the big taina on the Shvatim? They were shiftei ka, they were a bezdin, they made a psak, and it's biting. It's biting. That's the way it works. You make rules. They're bezdin, they're chashuva people. So you don't like the psak, I'm sorry, but that was a psak bezdin. Secondly, ask him salvation, what's the connection between realizing the chet of the beds and the story over here? So salvation points out something very, very important. He says the mistake of the shvatim were that every person needs to have a rebbe. Who are you? You decide making big decisions on your own? Yeah, you're chashuva people. But there's always someone above you. There's always someone that outranks you, that knows a little bit more, has been around a little bit more, knows a little bit more. Says of salvation, that was a taina. He says it in Yiddish, the way they quote it in the, I think, Panini Araf. Everyone needs a Rebbe. He says, I say the Harav, a person needs to have someone always above them. However, you go keep on going up the chain, there's always someone on top. Every person needs to have someone that they run things by to make sure they're not making any mistakes. And Rav Soloveitchik says in another piece, not in this piece, he says in another piece, and what happens when your Rebbe dies? So most people assume you get a new Rebbe. Soloveitchik says, no. You have to ask, what would my Rebbe do? What would my Rebbe do in this situation? That's what he writes. If you don't know, your Rebbe's not around. So it's a problem. So a lot of people like to decide what they think their Rebbe would have done as long as it fits their narrative. Okay, it gets a little tricky. Right, we know a lot of people, they find new Rebbes. Find someone who's a new Rebbe of yours. But in any case, says Rav Soloveitchik, that was a mistake of Reuven. And he realized the same thing by the beds. He got this idea to stop mixing around the beds. Who are you? Do whatever you want. It's a free fall over here. Ask someone. Ask, is this a good idea? Be sure late to discuss things with people. So Soloveitchik understands the whole chet of the Shvatim. Maybe they were right halachically. Maybe it wasn't completely wrong, but the idea was wrong. The idea of do what you want and don't ask and don't second guess. It's not true. It doesn't mean that every single time you have to ask, what to do. But if you have a major issue that you're being presented with and you have sides both ways and you're an egebetover, says Soloveitchik, the correct thing would be is to ask someone else. Ask someone greater. What?
Those items that possibly relate to someone possibly proving a basin. In other words, there's no problem with brothers dining.
Pashtus, that would have been no good. But the question is what they kept before Matan Torah. But the idea is, I think, a very, very valuable idea. We live in a world today that people do whatever they want. They don't care. And someone says it's okay. There might be someone who says it's okay. But the idea is still the same. Someone once told me he doesn't need a rabbi. He has a virtual rabbi. I said, okay, so you should ask virtual psalkim. I don't know. I think a person needs someone in their life that, very often I get phone calls from people that I never met before in my life, and they call me with very serious taras v'shmacha shaylas, and I say to them, I said, you need a rav who knows you, knows your family, knows the interactions, knows you and your husband, knows the details. This is the first time I met you. No, I can't. I don't know the rabbi. I don't know him well enough. He's not friendly enough. I said, so you got to find yourself a new rabbi. You got to find someone you could talk to. You need to find someone that you feel comfortable bringing all your shaylas to, the comfortable ones and the uncomfortable ones, someone who knows you, someone can guide you, someone who can direct you, someone you respect, and someone you feel comfortable with. If you don't have that, then you're missing a very important part of Klal Yisrael. So that's where Soloveitchik is telling us is a very important lesson from last week's parasha. The mistake that the brothers made was they weren't, they didn't have a Rebbe, they didn't ask the Rebbe what the right thing to do is.
Who are they supposed to ask?
Anyone great? Yeah, someone. You gotta ask someone. You gotta find someone. We find at the end of the parasha, two things at the end of the parasha that are worth noting. Firstly is something we spoke about in Halacha Shir. I think it's available on the website, that many people bring a raya from the end of parashas Vayishev that birthday parties are usher. Because the only time we find a birthday party being mentioned is by Parah. So if Parah made a birthday party, Parah was treif, so birthday parties are not treif. Right. So we gave a share in one of the Tuesday nights here where we discussed at length the the ideas of birthday parties, whether or not they are sourced in halacha, not sourced in halacha. This is a little bit of a stretch, in my opinion. Chaim Kanevsky says this. I shouldn't speak small of it, but it's a bit of a chiddush to say that because Pari did it, the Mela becomes possible, because Pari celebrated a birthday, so Mela, no one can celebrate birthdays. Okay. There's a taisus. Right, that's a kasha. Lovin, we learned the idea of Eim Arvin Simcha, but Simcha from Lovin. So why is that no longer applicable?
We give this exact
racha, right? Yeah. I just made a birthday party for two of my kids on Thursday night, so you're asking the wrong guy. Right. But in any case, I think it's okay. I don't think it's trade.
Right. Did you ask your Rebbe if you could do it or on your own?
No, that one I thought was okay. The only thing I had was blowing at the birthday candles. As we mentioned in the shir, there's a kaf achayim that holds you should never blow at any candles, not just the yahrzeit candle. You shouldn't blow at any candles. So you should always wave it out because every ner is in the neshama. I always thought it was only the yahrzeit candles. The kaf achayim and Rebbe Chaim Greenblatt bring down notes. Every candle, never blow at a candle. So it was okay. My kids couldn't blow it out anyway, so we had to use our hands anyway. So it was okay. But that was the only thing I was concerned about at the birthday party. The rest of right. Listen, when you have a one-year-old girl trying to blow out a candle, my daughter's one-year-old, how do you expect her? She's going to eat the candle before she blows it out. But okay, that was the idea of the birthday. The last thing of the parasha is a very, very, very important lesson that they say over in the name of Reb Shimon Shkab. At the end of the parasha, Yosef does his ishtadlus, so to say, to try to get out of jail like we would all do. And he asks twice for the Sar Hamashkim to get him out. And Rashi says he got punished 2 extra years for the two asks. So Reb Shimon Shkab asks, he says, I understand, you should get punished for one of them. The first one was ishtadlus. The second one was beyond ishtadlus. So why do you get 2 years? It should only be 1 year. Says Reb Shimon, no, it was a riot that even the first time wasn't ishtadlus. Says Reb Shimon that Yosef was on such a level that because he asked the second time, that already indicated that the first time was already not ishtadlus. It was a chasar and ishtadlus. It was already too much. Again, kifi erech, we have to know how to judge everyone. Yosef obviously was not like the rest of us. You know, if we'd be in his situation, we would have done a lot more, and that probably would have been our ishtadlus. As we know, the Mefarshim explained, every godel is kifi, his god lusai, is going to be his ishtadlus. The greater you are, the closer connected you are to Hashem, so your ishtadlus is very different than someone who's not connected. But Shimon points out that the reason why he got punished 2 years, although he the first time one would have thought was ishtadlus, because after the second time was megala, that the first time wasn't considered lishma. The first time was already considered a lack of emunah, and therefore he got punished for the first year and the second year. So explains Reb Shimon Shkab the idea in the end of the parsha. Okay, we're holding over here in a Geshmaka Taisvis, which Taisvis is trying to understand the Gemara. The Gemara by us said, we're trying to figure out a case of where it's a Suffolk Gavishan, a case where the get is placed in an area where we're not sure who owns it. Safik Karev Loi, Safik Karev Loi. We're not sure if the get's closer to her, we're not sure if the get's closer to him. So the Gemara comes up with a case where it's Shtei Kiti Eidim, where it's Machloik between two groups of Eidim. One group says the get was closer to her, and the other group says the get was closer to him. Now keep in mind, and this is important going into today's share, that the Mishnah is talking about both Gerushin and Kedushin. Okay, the Mishnah said it, that the Mishnah's discussion of closeness and Eidim and all that is applicable both by a get and by a kedusha. So the Mishnah said, the Gemara came out that the case of Suffolk is where you have two groups of Eidim. One group says closer to her, one group says closer to him, we don't know what to do, so it's a Suffolk kedusha. So Taisus has a kasha like this. Fark Taisus is number one. V'mtoymar, v'lishnik yigoyin d'liyadan and haminayu koydim. Ulkacha v'sveka. Says Taisus, I have a much simpler case of a Suffolk. You have two Eidim watching the whole story. They're watching the whole thing, and they push it, have no idea who got to the Dalai Lama first. There was a situation where there was a Dalai Lama, and the question is, who got to the Dalai Lama first? Was it him or was it her? And they don't know. They're just not sure. They're unclear of who got there first.
Really.
1 second. That's what we've got to get to today's year. But the assumption of Taisvus is that would present the halacha of Suffolk. Reuven and Shimon are watching the Gerushin or Kedushin, and they're watching closely, you know, like the referees, they want to make sure they cross the, you know, the first down. They're watching, and they see, they're just not sure, they don't know who got there first, it's so close. No instant replay in the times of the Gemara, they can't see who got there first, so they didn't throw up their hands and say, we have no idea. We're not sure, did Reuven get to the Dalai Lama first? Did Leah get to the Dalai Lama first? We don't know, so we'll say Suffolk. Why can't that be shot in the Gemara? That's Tosfos' kash. So Tosfos says, V'yei Shalom, you're right. Taisvus' answer is that could have been the case. In halacha, that would have been the conclusion. But the lishna, the mechza, mechza, like mashmahachi. But it doesn't fit into the words of the Mishnah. The words of the Mishnah call it mechza, mechza, half and half. Half and half means like you have one reason pushing you one way and one reason pushing you the other way. When in this case, you have nothing pushing you, you just don't know. It's lack of clarity. Mechza Mechza says the Maharsha, the way we spoke about last week, the Maharsha says, when you have two groups of Edim, that's better to call it Mechza Mechza. Why? Because I have one group telling me go this way, and one group telling me go this way, so that's half and half. But when I have no idea what to do, because it's all unclear, so then, I don't know what to do, so then says Tosfos, that can't be Pshat in the Mishnah. What you see from Tosfos is, that in halacha he agrees to the assumption. Meaning, Tosfos agrees halacha l'maisa, if the case would be such a case, where the Edim are sitting here watching the Rishas Rabbim, and then the get is thrown, and then they're looking and they're watching, and they say, I don't know, I can't tell, was he first or was she first? The halacha would be suffocation. That's true. We're not debating the halacha from Tosfos. We're just debating, can it fit into our Mishnah? But the takeaway from this Tosfos would be halacha l'maisa. The Tosfos would hold, if you'd have such a case, where two Edim are sitting there watching, they're waiting for the get gets dropped, and they're trying to figure out who is there closer, and they say themselves, we just don't know, it would be a suffic kedushin and a suffocation. That's the pashtus of this Tosfos. Many Rishonim disagree, I should say, some Rishonim disagree with Tosfos. L'moshel, if you look at number two, there's a Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch. Keep in mind the Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch is in Hilchos Kedushin. The Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch writes like this, if you have a case of Kedushin, Mechza L'Mechza, Oysha Yusafik Karav Lo, Yusafik Karav Lo. Or you have a case, says the Shulchan Aruch, where we're not sure if the Kedushin was closer to her, or the Kedushin was closer to him. So it says the Shulchan Aruch, that vibes the Suffolk Mekudeshes.
According to Shulchan Aruch, he definitely could shot in Gemara, not like this concert, because he's separating them.
So says the Beit Shmuel over here right away, says the Beit Shmuel number three, what does it mean, Suffolk Karavla, Suffolk Karavla? So you could have learned that in two ways. Suffolk Karavla could have meant that one group of Edim are unsure what they saw, or two groups of Edim are conflicting reports.
That's
Mechza Mechza of our Gemara. Says the Beit Shmuel, what does Suffolk Karavla mean? Haynu shteki di Edim hamuchlokim im hayikarvla yikarvla. Says the Beit Shmuel, pshat in the Mechaber. When we talk about Suffolk Karavla, what do we mean? We mean we're not sure because there's two groups of Edim. What we call treu treu. Says the Beit Shmuel, Avlam Hayula Edim, Safikim Hayukarvla. But if you'd have to have one group of Edim, two Jews, and they're not sure who was it closer to, Ein Chshash Kedushin. Then it's not even a Chshash. Why, says the Beit Shmuel? Taviki Ilu Kiddush Belay Edim. Because that's as if the Edim, there's no Edim there. Quotes from the Haggadah Sashri. So this Haggadah Sashri seems to be deliberately against our Tosfos. Our Tosfos seem to have assumed that if there were to be such a case of Safik, it would be good. It would be a Safik. It just doesn't fit into our Mishnah. Here the Beit Shmuel quote from the Haggadah Sashri that not true. If the Bishlam, when you have Trey Utrey, so then you have two, each group thinks that they got the whole story. So you have Edim. The question is, who do I believe?
Tosfos is answering simply that just doesn't fit into the Lashon
of the Mishnah. Right, doesn't fit into the Lashon of the Mishnah, but sounds like from Tosfos that in Halacha, I agree, because if Tosfos disagreed with the premise, he should have answered your premise is incorrect. That Halacha is not true. Tosfos didn't say that. Instead, he answered a teretz that has to do with the wording of the Mishnah, to which you have to follow up with the Marsha's Kasha about how to get the Hoshtakot Torah. If Tosfos disagreed with the premise, he should have answered, not true, I don't agree with your premise. I hold like that Gosha Shri, that when you have two Edim and they don't know what they saw, that's not Edim. So clearly, the Achreinim assume, and this is again Pashat learning Tosfos, that Tosfos disagrees with this Hagasa Shri, and Tosfos holds that in the case of Suffolk, you don't have Edim, and if you don't have Edim, you have nothing. You can't do anything without Edim. So we have Machlokes Rishonim.
Let's try to know, why is that Edim? So now the kasha is, one second.
Well, we'll get to that in a second. First of all, where does this fall into Gerushin? Secondly, so if this is such a compelling argument from the Gosha Shri, how do you learn Tosfos now? How do you go back and say, well, Tosfos is not a problem? Why not? There seems to be a very compelling argument. You need to have Edim. If Edim didn't see anything, or they don't know what they saw, there's no Edim. So the Beis Meir, number four, right away speaks out what we just spoke out a second ago. The Beis Meir speaks out that from our Tosfos and Gittin, you see he argues on the Gosha Shri. And he writes, Zok the Beis Meir, V'yishloimar, the Haloshon Le'mash Mochi. He's quoting Tosfos' answer. Says the Beis Meir, Nishma Mizeh, what do I hear from this Tosfos? The Loisvi, like he did with Agos HaShri, Shem Beish Mu'ol, Simon Lamed, Tziv Katan Tas. He doesn't agree with Agos HaShri, quoted by Beis Mu'ol. Tim Le'edim Safik, because if the Edim have a Safik, Ein Chash Kedushin. Tavik Kilu Kiddush B'lo Edim. Shari Ha Tosfos Soivim, the B'lo Edim is Siri, Ein Ged Klal. He says, one second, this is what we need to speak out. Gerushin is very different than Kedushin. We know for Kedushin, we have a principle called Edei Kiyum. You can't have Kedushin unless two Edim witness it. If a man goes over to a lady and gives her a ring between the two of them, no one sees it, no one knows. And they're both moida, they swear on the Sefer Torah that they got married, it doesn't work. Kedushin is Edei Kiyum. You need the Edim make the chalos. So what about Gerushin? Does Gerushin work the same way? This premise of the Agos HaShri is that Havik Ilu Kiddush B'lay Edim. Great, that's a Kedushin thing. Our Mishnah is Gittin. So if it's Gittin, maybe there's no such thing that you need to have Edim see the get. Right, but what happens?
That's Edei Kiyum.
Well, what happens if you have Edei Chasima? We don't know what's on the shtar. Maybe. Okay. I'll get to that in a second. That's so the way the Beis Meir sets it up is he says, no, you can't say that. Why? Shari had tois v'soivrim because tois is l'shitasayin gittin holds the b'loy edim mesira and get kla. Tois is holds you need edim mesira. So the same way the Beis Shmuel says you need edim by kedushin, tois is happens to be of the opinion you need edim mesira. Edim have to witness the giving over. If the edim didn't witness the giving over because they don't know what happened here, so then there's no edim. If there's no edim, then you don't have a get either. So therefore, says the Beis Meir, how could tois get up and say that I agree to the halacha, I just disagree with the wording of the Mishnah. It must be, Elamai says the Beis Shmuel, it must be, El Vada de Lisvir Lehachi. It must be that Tosfos does not agree with the premise of the Gosa Shri. Meaning, what the Beis Meir tried to do very, very quickly was to tell you that Gerushin is different than Kedushin. Although the Beis Shmuel quotes our Gosa Shri, that says by Kedushin you need to have Edom, that's because Kedushin, the Edom are an integral part. Maybe getting them not an integral part, says the Beis Meir, it's not true. Because I know Tosfos holds that Edom is Sirikarti. That what makes a divorce is the giving over from the husband to the wife. So when the Edom are watching this story unfold, they do not see a giving from a husband to wife. Because they have no idea where the get was put, whose mishus it was. So as far as the Edom are concerned, they didn't see Edom, they're not Edom Mesir. If they're not Edom Mesir, the get's not Chal.
But again, it's as if there were no Edom, because they're not adding anything to our body of knowledge. So why do we even need to posit them?
One second. If the Edom see, well, that's what we're going to get to as we continue to see. How much do the Edom have to see and how much can they find out later? Right, they saw more than if there be no Edom. They saw something. They saw a get that was given from husband to a wife. The question just is was this Masir Lubishusa or not? That much they saw. The question just is, was this a Masir Lubishusa or not? So the Beis HaLevi, he doesn't quote this Beis Meir, but he adds a little bit to the equation. He's bothered with the same kasha. The Beis HaLevi wants to know, is this Hagos HaShri necessarily a contradiction to our Tosfos in Gittin? He starts off the similar way of the Beis Meir by saying maybe Kedushin is different than Gerushin. Maybe by Gerushin you don't need Edim to see anything besides for Edei Chasima.
I have a question. So yeah. Today, when you give a get, you have to hand it, right? And you put it in the hand, right? Well, you're close enough to be able to hand it to the person, so you're clearly both occupying the same Daladamas, right?
Right.
So why isn't that the same situation? They saw the husband give it to the wife.
No, or over here, place it. So over here, what happened was the husband placed the get somewhere, and we're not sure who was in the Daladamas first. He dropped it in a way. I guess they were both walking. I'm still never sure how exactly this case works. Yeah. Where he threw it or how he threw it. In some way it happened. Maybe he made a shliach. Maybe he made a shliach to drop the get. And the shliach dropped the get right in a place where we're not sure now who got there first. Did the husband get there first, which would then be not a nesin al rishusa? Or did she get there first, which in that case it would be a nesin al rishusa? So that's the suffix. We're not sure. So why can't that be suffix get? That's Taisus's question. So Taisus answers, you're right, it could be. Says the Gosha Shri, no, it can't be. Because if you ask the witnesses, what did you see? They can't say, I saw a Gerushin. You saw nothing. You have no idea what you saw. Because if on the tzad that the get was in his rishus, you didn't see a Gerushin. You can't get him and testify you saw. You have nothing. You're Edom. You're Edomless. You don't have Edom. So therefore, it's nothing. So says the Beis HaLevi, says the Beis HaLevi, why can't you just say that our Mishnah is going according to Rav Meir, that holds Edim, that holds you just need Edei Chasima, so you know the Edim don't have to see anything. So if all the Edim needed to do is sign on the bottom dotted line, so as long as the Edim signed on the paper, the giving over is irrelevant. So therefore, if the giving over is irrelevant, the kasha, the problem that the Beis Shmuel has by Kedushin won't overflow to Gerushin, and Tosfos can work with that Gosa Shri. Says the Beis HaLevi, not so fast. First of all, he says that Chodah the Loshayim Shal Tosfos leMashmekein. He thinks that the Loshon of Tosfos is Mashmek will go according to everyone. V'oy the Hadasa Tosfos b'Shem Rabbeinu Tam, but Tosfos himself holds in the name of Rabbeinu Tam the Gamble of Meir Tzarich Edim Mesira. That even Rabbeinu holds you need Edim Mesira. So if you hold you need Edim Mesira, so you're back to square one. V'oy, I think this is the best of the kashas. That would be a Mishnah Tanar V'Chil and Yekedushin. We keep on forgetting that our Mishnah that talks about the half and half and all these games is talking about both Gerushin and Kedushin. So if our Mishnah is talking about Kedushin. And Kedushin, you definitely need Edim. So how can you tell me that you're going to read the Mishnah when it says Mechza, Mechza, it means only by Gerushin and not by Kedushin? It can't be. It's got to be across the board. So therefore, Tainus Beis HaLevi, it's got to be that if Tosfos is going to say that Mechza, Mechza could be a case of a suffix that Edim don't know, it's true for Kedushin also. And therefore, it must be that Tosfos argues on the Gosa Shri. That's the argument that the Beis HaLevi makes. Again, it's not a kasha. We shame them a lot of argue. They do this all day long. Right? That's why Achrayim have jobs, because we shame argue all day long. We have what to be busy with. Right? You know, Baruch Hashem. But that's the assumption that the Beis HaLevi makes, is that there's no way to answer up a chiluk between Gerushin and Kedushin, because they're going to ultimately follow the same rules, either because Gerushin needs Edim Mesira, or because our Mishnah is talking about Kedushin also. Okay.
What was the Havamina to say that we would not need Edim Mesira?
because it's machlokes in the Gemara. What do you need for Gershon? Do you need Eidim to sign on the paper? Or you need Eidim to watch the giving over. So if all you need is Eidim to sign, so then we don't really care who saw what, as long as there was Eidim on the paper, and now they get with Bicha. So the question that is troubling on Tosfos, especially after you see the Hagas Ashri, is what's Tachab Shad on Tosfos? Where's the Eidim? The Eidim didn't see anything. The Eidim don't know what they're seeing. You know, the Eidim didn't see a Chalois Gevushin. They didn't see a Chalois Kedushin. So L'chayud Hagas Ashri should be right. That you can't have Kedushin or Gevushin in such a matter. Why is it called Safek? So the truth from the Noi Dibi Yehuda.
If you have two Eidim and a Kedushin, and they don't know the value of
so Reb Shimon has this piece. So that's the question, which I tried not to bring us back into Kedushin, but I think we're going to get a little bit. The question is, good luck. The question is, what exactly is the role of Eidim? When you talk about Eidim, what do they have to know? Is there enough for certain things to be in this bara later or not? So Reb Shimon has a piece in Chiddush Reb Shimon where he believes that the shavis of the ring is something the Eidim can find out later. That's not something they have to know at the time of the Chiddush. They can find that out later.
Yeah, but now, how does that work? If it, later on it's not worth it,
But the point is the other way. Well, is that if you go you know, an hour after the chup and you ask the, and you bring the Eidim and say, yeah, Taka, this ring was worth $100, so there's no problem. That wouldn't be a chasar and Eidikim. The question that we're going to tackle a little bit today is what's the role of Eidikim? How much do they have to see? Do they have to see in the Sinas, Atabas, Meish, Leisha? That's step number one. What else do they have to see? Do they also have to know it's his? Do they also have to know how much it's worth?
Do they have to know the machshava of the husband? Maybe it's just a gift and it's not for Kedusha.
Right. I would assume because without that, it's not a Maisa Kedusha at all. If he's gifting it, it's not
a Kedusha.
Right?
The fact you're standing under chuppah, doesn't that machia? Yeah.
It could be.
I mean, you got a rabbi and 500 guests there, man.
Yeah. That's the question. The question is we have to figure out, we have to really pinpoint what is the role of the Eidim with regard to Eidikim.
We want to get marriages.
So let's try to figure out what exactly is the garland. So the Nei Yehuda has a tshuva. Okay, good. That's what Achrayim say, which I don't understand exactly why that should make a difference. But good. So
you can't be
invirate. Okay, so that
ring, you can be invirate.
Oh, so if you can't, so why? You know, it's like someone came to me a couple days ago. It's like someone came to me a couple of days ago and they told me that he doesn't want to table his electric dish, so he wants to use it without tabling. I said, why? So the truth is, in the Star K, they have Rabbi Heinemann has a whole cheshbon like this. He told me, because I can't table it, so I'm tabling it, so I'm allowed to use it. I said, why don't we stop the equation in the beginning and say, well, if you can't table it, don't buy it. Now, why does it work like that? Why are you telling me, now that I own a George Foreman grill and I have to use it, so Mela, I can't table it, so I'm going to use it without tabling. I have a better idea. Don't buy it in the first place, or sell it to a guy, or do one of the other eitzes. You know, just because you can't do something, I'm not sure why that makes it now that it's mutter. You can't do it, so you can't. So we'll have to figure something else out. We'll see. I have such a shadow over here on the sheet. I don't exactly understand it, but we'll try to tackle it. But the Yehuda comes up with an interesting chap, which again, I don't claim to understand, but the Yehuda has a definition of what do Eidim need to know or not need to know. So it says the Nebi Yehuda like this. He says, the Sham Ra'ush Zarek La Kedusha L'makim Zeh. The Eidim saw that Kedusha was thrown to this area. The Ra'ush Egiya Kedusha L'makim Zeh. They saw that Kedusha dropped there. The Eid Lahem Safik Rak Al Hamakim. The whole Safik is not what happened. They know. Kedusha was transferred from man to lady. The question is on the location. Im hamakim karev la ay karev la. Vim hamakim be'emes karev la. Said that if the place would really be closer to her, im kein ro'u kedusha mamish. Then they saw complete kedusha. Im kein l'maze doime. Says the Nebuchadnezzar, what is comparable to? La'amra zroi kedusha nechatzeri. The guy, a lady tells a man, do me a favor, throw kedusha into my backyard. Ve'kadosh lach, I'm be married to you. Ve'edim ro'u shekedusha zarek l'chatzim. The Eidim see a kedusha, the Eidim watch man throw kedusha into chatzim. They have no idea whose chatzim it is. They never looked at the title on who owns it. Says me yudu avala elo edim any yadim ma khatsa shlo ya shlo. Halo im be'emes khatsa shlo mikudeshes. So Dr. Nate Behuda, this is where he's trying to give us some form of a guideline of what's integral for the Eidim to know. Again, I'm not claiming to understand why this and other details, but what Nate Behuda feels comfortable saying is the location of the Kedushin is something we can figure out later. That's not integral for Eidim Kedushin.
But that only works for Kedushin.
Yeah.
You can't say that by Gerish.
Why?
Because Gerish specific is not some biyada. So we're trying to figure out if this is biyada or not. If there's no biyada, then nothing happened. Here.
And by Kedushin, it's not like that?
So there's no Kedushin. Saying the Torah doesn't need to pass to the Sima.
Forget the scene, but if you didn't buy her, if you didn't do kiikach, so then what did you,
But that's a detail that we clarify. This is be'etzem a defect in the Maisa.
Well, again, I'm not claiming to understand the Neid Behud exactly. I don't really understand what the difference is in what you know, what you don't know. If at the end of the day you can't say that there was a Gerishin, so you don't have Eidim. He's saying that
they needed the title to the land.
Right. So the Neid Behud is saying clearly that the guidelines that he's giving us is the guidelines that we need to see is the physical action. Reb Shimon happens to say similar words. He says you have to see the Maisa, giving over of a Dover Kedushin to a Ish, to an Isha. Same thing with the ring. You gave over a ring. We don't know if the ring is Shavya. Fine, you'll figure that out later, whether or not the ring is Shavya. That's what the Neid Behud seems to be saying here also. We see Kedushin being given from her to her. We don't know if this is hers. Fine, so we find it later. It's hers. Everything fits into place. That's how the Neid Behud wants to learn our Tosfos.
So one thing, so I can say the same thing, but yeah, you know, it looks like they're both in the Dover.
I'm assuming, I would have assumed that this Neid Behud, he's trying to explain this Artaisus by getting also. Now, I found...
The difference is that the Adam need to see an act that conveys the intentions of the parties, which...
Sometimes.
No, I'm saying, so in this case, so the Mice and Asina putting it into the Chatzar, even though they don't know whose Chatzar it is,
right,
or the Kedushin, so they have to see what the people have to do. The other things don't require aidus. It either is or it isn't. In other words,
such as which case?
In other words, the value of the ring.
Right, but if it is
what it is.
But that's
a fact. It's not totally in any.
But it's a fact that controls the chalos without
that,
knowing.
It's different than. But it's not something that Adim need to know.
But that's what we're debating. What again? In every chalos, there's five things that need to be there. Right, you need a man. You need a woman. You need contrary to society today. Yeah, you need a man and a woman. You need to have a ring. You need to own. He owns a ring. You need to know she agrees. You know the ring has certain value. What do the Eidim need to know? When we talk about the Eidikim, how much do they need to see at the time? Obviously, that has to all be proven later. So the argument one could make is that the Eidim also have to know the value because the value is integral to the chalos. Without the Eidim knowing that, the Eidim are missing part of the story.
The difference is what Eidim have to see is different than what they have to know.
Correct. That's
so. All they need to be able that's exactly to do what the, is to see something.
That's what the Neid Behud is saying.
The other things are facts.
Exactly. That's what the Neid Behud seems to be saying.
Yeah, I get it.
Right. That's exactly what the Neid Behud is saying. Right. According to this Neid Behud, something like the Shavis of the ring can be inspired later. I would think this Rip Shimon that I mentioned earlier is very much mashup like the Neid Behud. Something that's post-factor, something that we'll call it the outside, is the way Rip Shimon says it, if I remember from last time I saw it, Rip Shimon says, you have to see a Maisa Kedushin. What's a Maisa Kedushin? The Sina Miyad Ish Leisha. That box of giving over. All the other details later, you'll find that out later.
Same thing with whose chutzner it is.
That's exactly
as long as it's clearly a different chutzner.
Right. That's
so what it's a suffix, whether it's a different chutzner or not, then you don't know if you have the mice in the scene.
So that's what we're going to get to in a second. That when we're debating on the area, not that we'll never know later on where the area is. That might be different. We'll get to that in 1 second. So I put over here Sefer Zichron Shmuel. I'm not sure who wrote it, but he comes up with another chap over here. How to learn Tosfos.
I'm going with Shmuel.
I don't understand the pshat, but we'll read it anyways. He writes like this. He thinks Tosfos is correct for another reason. He's trying to figure out how Tosfos can work with the Agos HaShri and the Kash that we started off with, that if Edom didn't know what they saw, why is that not a problem of Megarash B'lo Edom? So he says, the only time Edom have to know is something they're supposed to know. When we say you need to have Edim at a chalais, it's because the things that they're supposed to be aware of, they have to be aware of, and if they're not aware of, that's a chasar. Then, b'shas ma'isiv oz, ene begedu edus, asher aleim lahai dover bar. Avul dover she'ene b'mitzias ev shori li eda, but something which is impossible for them to know, ene zim migarei ha'koich edusim. It does not subtract from the power of Edim. And then, therefore, he says at the end, Harikan shab b'mitzil, okum b'adasi trevai ba'ade adodi. So therefore, that's Pshat and Taisus. Taisus agrees that if the Edom are supposed to have been watching when the husband threw the Kedushin to her, and they just weren't looking, they weren't careful enough to see, was it close to them or close to her, that's a tain on the Edom. Mashikin over here, this is an impossibility. You can stand here with the closest of eyes. You will not be able to tell which foot stepped into the Dalai Lama first. It's not a tain on the Edom. So if it's not a tain on the Edom, then it's not Kilo Mekadosh below Edom. I don't understand. You're right. I don't blame them, and they don't get fired for their job. But at the end of the day, it's felt in Edus. You call it what you want. I don't care. Blame, not blame. They can't tell me I saw Chalois Gevishit. So if the din is that Edim are Kiyum, they make the Chalois, they don't have it.
Witness the Chalois, or the witness the Maisa?
They didn't witness either.
I
don't know what they witnessed. I'm not sure what they saw. They can't tell you they saw anything. They'll tell you they witnessed a suffix. So as much as it makes sense logically what the Sefer is suggesting, that one is a Taina, one's not a Taina, I just don't see what the difference is. If you tell me the role of Edom is integral, they need to see X and Y, they didn't see it. So whether or not it's their fault or not their fault, shouldn't play a role. But that's what he wants to suggest.
But Rabbi, you don't see the distinction. In other words, if a guy's Makadosh a lady,
yeah,
and there are no witnesses to it. So we said that that's an integral component. There's no tradition, no matter what.
Correct.
Where they actually saw a Maisa, again, it's a fact that can be discerned, but maybe we can, maybe we cannot, that she's now a Suffolk Ashish-ish or Suffolk Yivivesh-ish, that she can't just go ahead and...
That's what we're going to see. We're going to see this idea again.
I don't even think otherwise. I mean, we've created a Suffolk here.
I would have assumed...
Just go back to your...
I would have assumed that in such a case, we don't really know anything.
So we don't. We talk and don't. But so then... There was a Maisa.
So, oh, okay. Cool, good.
Very well...
Okay. So you're really... So you're getting into to something on the next sheet, which we need to see at some point, is that the question over here that we still haven't dealt with is, why don't we just apply the rule called Chazaka? We don't know what happened, so we have a rule. You don't know what to do, you go back into Chazaka. What's Chazaka? What was her status 2 minutes before this whole story started? The answer was she was married. She was an Eish Zish. So let's apply Cheskes Eish Zish and continue that way and say, well, she was an Eish Zish till yesterday. All of a sudden now this crazy story happened. We don't know what the story is. Put the story aside. Go back to what she was yesterday. Make her an Eish Zish. Why is she a Suffolk? That's a very good question. That's something we need to talk about. But putting that aside, right now we're not dealing with that. We're kind of making believe we don't know this. Allah.
Well, the question is, that might work by Gershon, but how about by Kedushin?
Kedushin would be the same thing. Cheskes Penuyah.
Could it work that way?
Yeah, sure.
In other words, you could have two Kedushins, because what happens on the Suffolk if the first one was good?
No, that's the idea. The idea of a Suffolk is, and we'll have to discuss this obviously at length, the idea of a Suffolk is when we don't know what to do, Chazal gave us the right, or the Hanhaga, to go back to what you were originally. We don't always know, right? We don't know. But that's what we're supposed to be knowing. We're knowing Cheskes Penuyah. We treat her like she's single. She might have been married, we don't know. But that's the chab of a chazaka, we have the right to go back. So, the Keren Oyer and Yevamis has a shtickle Torah. The Keren Oyer and Yevamis has a shtickle Torah. He wants to shtim this Tosfos with the Hagos HaShri. The truth is, if Kvega points out, that there's a bunch of Rishonim. There's a Rashba in Yevamis, a Ritvon Yevamis, that discuss our Shaila about what happens when you have a group of Edim who don't know what they saw. Right. Normally, ask any good judge or lawyer, witnesses who come and say, we don't know what we saw, are not very helpful in the court of law. I'll come and I don't know what I saw. What do you help us for? You don't know anything. You're not sure. But we're going to see that it's very possible over here that there is something to not knowing. Sometimes when you don't know something, you're better off than saying, I have absolutely no idea. I have a shtickle idea. I'm not clear completely, but I have something. So the Keren Oyer wants to say, maybe this depends on what you don't know. Again, what was the case of the Bishmur? The case of Rebbe Shmuel, what you didn't know was where the Kedushin ended up. Was the Kedushin closer to him, or was the Kedushin closer to her? What's the Shaila in our Tosfos? What are you trying to down on? We're not sure whose Rishus it was. There's a difference, says the Keren Oyer, between whose Rishus it was and where it was thrown. Says the Keren Oyer, number 8, he said, "L'niz d'akti d'zeh eino yidal korchach lo'i ko'amar ha'gos ha'shri." When did the ha'gos ha'shri say what Rebbe Shmuel said? "T'ein zeh eidos elam ha'edim o'imim re'ina shenosin laget, avol re'inu ma'yikarv lo'ikarv lo." We possibly don't know. We saw it, but we don't know. Sok the Keren Oyer, "T'ein zeh eidos klal." That's not eidos, kivin d'lo'i ro'o b'mir. They didn't say it in certainty. "Avol ma'edim eidam misupakim b'makim." They're not misupik where they get landed. The place itself is of question.
So it's clearly a different chazer.
Right.
They just don't know whether she owns that chazer.
Exactly. Says the Keren Oyer, let's split the Sveikas. The Sveikas could be where the get went, closer this way, closer that way. We're meaning our subject is on the get, as opposed to the case in our Tosfos, it's not a question on the get. It's a question on the place. Now you ask me, it's a beautiful chiluk. What difference does it make? That's a good kash. It's a nice chiluk, don't get me wrong. I think it's a very nice chiluk between our Tosfos, is that the Shaila is not where the get, we know where the get went. The get went this spot. The question is, who owns this spot?
You can be Mavar later on the second part.
No, you can't. Our Gemara said it's the Yevshel Tzamtzim. There's no way of knowing.
No, not the first part where you don't know whether it was closer to him or closer to her. You can never be Mavar at that, because they don't know what they saw. But if it went into a completely different... Chatzar,
right.
I just don't know if she owned that.
And that would work.
That you could be
and a chlam, I think that would work. No, but our Tosfos, we're talking about a case where the get went to a place where we'll never be able to move our later. It went into the questionable Dalaramas. So says the Keren Oyer, it's not a kasha. Our Tosfos works with the Beis Shmuel. The Beis Shmuel's case was talking about where the Edom, the man threw the get or the Kedushin, and the Edom weren't watching carefully. They didn't see where it went. So they were misupik on where the get went. On that, says the Beis Shmuel, that's Mekadosh B'lai Edom. But in our Gemara, the Edom knew exactly. The Edom could tell you, the get's at the corner of this street and that street. We just don't know who owns the corner of this street and that street. That's the Suffolk. So it's a very nice Shtickle Torah, but I would turn around and say, so what? What's the difference? At the end of the day, the Edom can't say with a certainty that we saw a Maisa Gerushin. Because on the side that this corner belongs to him, it's not a Maisa Gerushin. What difference where our suffix lies? Again, I happen to think it's a beautiful chiluk between our Gemara and the Bishmul's case, but I don't see why it makes a difference.
And why is it he should have been Mavara the second?
Because our Gemara said we can never, it's impossible to figure out who came first. It's impossible. We'll never know. We'll never know who came to the Dalai Lama's first. So we'll never be able to clarify.
No, I'm not understanding. The first situation is they saw the get down. They just don't know who was there first.
No, the way
who was closer to.
The way the Beis Shmuel, the way the Keren Arizona Beis Shmuel, what happened was they ate him through it, and they just weren't watching where it went. They had no idea where the get ended up. So the suffix is where the get went. They know where he lives, and they know where she lives. The Edom weren't watching where the get went. So the suffix is on the get. Where did the get go? Here, says the Keren Ayra, our suffix is on the place. So again, beautiful chiluk, terrific. Shmak, what difference does it make? So again, it's a little bit hard for me to understand exactly what the chiluk is. The Beis Halevi has a piece.
Wait, why can't you borrow, why can't you just add extra witnesses to just establish the place based on the knowledge of other witnesses who can now establish the relative proximity of the get to the
location? If you would have... So first of all, I don't know if we have that.
Taking witnesses who will testify as
if we have that, maybe.
And then I'll have other witnesses who can say
that would be great if we had.
I've measured from X to Y, and based upon
every lawyer would always like to have more witnesses. I don't know if you always get them.
Well, why not? Why wouldn't the?
How would they know?
I'm an investor.
Right.
Right. So I've brought in these witnesses, and the Besdin questions the first set of witnesses,
yeah.
And when they get to the question of, well, do you know, can you tell me, in terms of where the get was located, where it is relative to the Hatzert, they said, I really can't tell, I didn't look, I didn't examine. Okay, fine. Now I'm going to call in the next set of witnesses. The next set of witnesses are going to now add to that testimony. They're not going to be able to testify as to the actual seeing where it was, but on the assumption that the get is located in spot X, okay, relative to a map that they've viewed and the measurements they've taken, they can say that the get is located in the chutzner
if possible, yeah, I don't know. It sounds like over here we're talking about we're only working with what the two Eidim give us, so that we're very limited. And Echram, if there be outside factors, it changes the whole story. Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
What Keanu is saying is that in this case, it's not a sub of Trey or Trey. No, you heard saying, Chazoka is Trey and Trey. This is not a sub of Trey and Trey. It's sub in the Mokum.
Right.
Oh,
why not? Why wouldn't
it? It's not a sub of Trey and Trey.
So what would happen? So according to this, when do we say suffix use chazaka? Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Okay,
but over here with
Gufa Edis.
Okay, but according to the Keren Ayra, we have two types of svekis. We're mesupik where the get went, and we're mesupik the place where the get is now occupied. That's the suffix. So what? Why does sometimes say suffix yeah chazak, or sometimes no chazak? That's mamish the Beis Halevi's kasha. The Beis Halevi wants to be masbid this. Again, we're not talking about trey in either case. We're talking about now where the shaila is two Edom watched and they don't know. They don't know where the get went, or they don't know the place where the get is now. So one time says the Gosha Shri no Edom, and here Taisa says yes Edom. So what's the difference? So the Beis Halevi says again. This is a sugya way beyond today, but the Beis Halevi has a pshat.
What would happen if they established that they both came at the exact same time? In other words, what would happen? He didn't get out of his...
So the Gemara says, Yev Shilat Samson. The Gemara says,
you Avril Shilat Samson, and it turned out that it was to the millisecond...
So that's a machloikis. The Chazanish assumes in that case, Chazanish believes it's not true.
It's what?
The Chazanish doesn't believe you can both own it together. Chazanish is only one person who would own it, but we wouldn't know what to do. It would be. It's a sub because we don't know who it is.
Okay.
Others think it would be a Chatzra Shutfis. The Taisirash assumes we'd own it together, which still wouldn't work for Kedushin. But
maybe that's the chiluk over here back to the ages. And I was even in the best case scenario where I did something and came in over there, the rules that apply are that you created a suffix.
But we're trying to get a suffix. The best we're going to get over here is a suffix.
And what happens by the way, a suffix? So then you have to give a get.
You have to be machmir for everything. You have to give a get again, and she'd have a din of a grusha. So the Beis Halevi has a shtickle ter over here where he writes like this, number 9. He says, that the difference between the Keren, he doesn't quote the Keren area, but he says the same chiluk, between if we're donning on where the get went, or the place where the get is. So he writes like this. Let's start from over here. He says, all the Edom saw was a throwing. They don't know where it dropped. That's the case of the Hagos HaShri. Avlam ro'u mokim the philosopher makim stop ko aloi se mokim im uchotze shalo o shalo it's mamish the keren oira al zeh ho lo shayich loy me ukma cheskas pnuya. Then we can't say let's use cheskas pnuya. Why not, says the Beis HaLevi, the cheskas pnuya di day lo yachri lanu hasofik sheyesh b'hachotze shal mihu, because her cheskas pnuya will not tell us who owns the chotze v'hachotze nishar b'sofik. So,
someone really does own the chutz. We just don't know. When the Edom don't know where, you know,
right,
where it landed. So reality is there's no Edom, because
there's no way of knowing. You mean
the whole idea? Edom needs to say something. Something happened there. So there is no Edom. So it's really a true topic. But here, by saying we don't know who owns it, someone really does own it. We just don't know. So the reality, there is no. It's a subject to us.
But as far as the Edom, but did the Edom see a Kedushin? They saw questionable, because until they know.
Same thing, like the, how much the weather is worth a
shovel
of
fruit.
Right.
Yeah, I can move.
That's the Noit Behuda's argument, right? The Noit Behuda will tell you that. You tell me that knowing where the get Kedushin goes is not integral enough to know where the get is right now? We don't know where the get went. I mean, you're arguing that when a get is thrown somewhere, or a Kedushin is thrown somewhere, and no one knows where it ends up. That's a lacking part of the storyline, or the Maisa Kedushin.
Right.
Yeah.
Is it a get or kedushin?
Yeah, both. Well, either.
They need to see something.
They need to see a mice in the sinah. Here they're missing.
They don't know where.
So that's the argument.
Has two parts, the giving.
That's what I would have assumed. Right? So the way that Beis HaLevi says it is, he says, because you need to have that the cheskas panuya is supposed to be megala on the suffix. If we say she's still single, that's still not going to tell me who owns the area. That's the way the Beis HaLevi says it. So therefore, we don't apply the rules. That's what I would have assumed, that Chazak is not necessarily supposed to answer anything.
The whole Hava mean of the Chazak is that we don't know what the answer
is. Right, so the Chazak is supposed to tell me that although I don't know what happened over here, I'm just going to apply other rules in other areas and allow her to have a certain status. He's saying no, that the Chazak should be connected.
Right, what the Chazak is about.
Correct. That's how the Beis HaLevi is saying it. Okay, this is another Beis HaLevi that is beyond for today's show. I just wanted to mention it.
Could you say that there's a difference between whether the suffix is in what the metzias is like here, who got there first, the land, or our suffix is by trey or trey, we don't know what to do.
We're not up to trey or trey yet. That's the next step of Tyson. And this step of Tyson is one group of Edom. Two guys watched it, and they have no idea what they watched. They're mesupik what they saw. That's the case about Tyson.
Between resolvable
sveikus
and irresolvable
sveikus. We saw that earlier. We saw this from the Zichron Shmuel. But he says, he doesn't say it like that. He says that sveikus is that I should have known better and I didn't know better.
No, I say sveikus that could eventually be resolved. Maybe there's a closer. Eventually, you could get some micro laser measurement and make it.
Right. The question.
As opposed to the case where who came first. The more says Yev Shalom Tom saying. That's what they're saying. It's an irresolvable suffix.
Right, but I just don't understand why that exempts you from having Edom. It's a nebuch. I feel bad.
It's not actually sown in the Edom.
Why not? They still don't know. It might not be their fault.
I can't know something I can't know.
But you still don't know it.
But I saw.
But if you didn't see Edom, you're still not getting.
I just don't know who got there first, but I know I saw a Maisa Geirah.
Al zeh anudan. That's what we're trying to figure out. Is this enough for Edom? See, yeah, I agree. I think that's the part of the argument. Yeah, the Avnei Meluim, number 10, has a similar shtickle Torah to this Beis Shmuel, but he says it's slightly different. The Avnei Meluim wants to go back to our Tosfos. And he wants to suggest maybe a different shot. Maybe the reason why Tosfos answered what he did, and did not say we're talking about over here, the Avnei Meluim is bothered with Tosfos' kasha. What was Tosfos' kasha? We're talking about two Edom. Why didn't we just answer where the Edom are not sure what they saw? Says the Avnei Meluim, not because Edei Kiyum have a problem. You have a problem that there's a halacha that Edom have to be aware of the shlichus. Meaning, if Leah wants someone else to accept her get for her, she has to have a shliach to accept the get for her. Edom have to know that you're my shliach. That's the rule, says the Avnei Meluim. So says the Avnei Meluim, in this case, where the Dalet Amos is her shliach, but the Edom don't know this is her Dalet Amos. So it's a chesaron in the appointing of the shlichus. When you don't have Edom on the shlichus, you don't have a get. What?
There's no minu shlichus in Kenyan Dalet Amos.
and a chanami, but you have to at least know that this is working, that this is her dalaramas. You don't have to know the meaning that I
dalaramas functioning like
a shliach. That's what he said. That's what Avdim Miluim says. Therefore, says Avdim Miluim, the reason why Tosfos didn't answer this kasha is because Tosfos held that if you're going to have a suffix, the Edom did not know that this is her dalaramas, because the Edom themselves don't know whose dalaramas it is. And if the Edom, not because Edekiyim, like the Beis Shmuel, different angle according to Avdim Miluim. The Avdim Miluim's angle is it's a chsarin in Edom seeing the mina shlichus. And therefore, the Avdim Miluim goes a step further and says, by Kedushin, it's not a problem. Because by Kedushin, you don't need to know mina shlichus, only by get. That's what Avdim Miluim wants to say. There's a Ramban, that the Ramban disagrees with Tosfos' whole premise. The Ramban says, what was Tosfos' kasha? What happens if the Edom don't know what they saw? Let that be a case of suffix with suffix. Says the Ramban, that's not suffix with suffix. That's called Yuz Cheskas Pnuyah. The Ramban says that in the case of Tosfos, where two Edom walk in, and they see the thrower, they don't know who is it closer to. Says Ramban, no problems. That would be a case where we don't know what to do. We wouldn't call it Suffolk Geirushin. We'd say it's nothing. Use Cheskas Eishes Ish. She'd be a full-blown married woman. That's what the Ramban says. So we have a machloket between the Ramban and Tosfos. What would you do in a case of uncertainty? You have a case of Suffolk. You don't know whose it is. Tosfos says it would be Suffolk Geirushin, while the Ramban says it would be Cheskas Pinuyah. Okay. Let's just go one step further in Tosfos. Tosfos has another kasha. Keep all this in mind, and now we can get into what we were supposed to get into today's share. This was really this was last week's share. We didn't get to. Vim Toima, Frek Tosfos Akasha. V'nei mo'uki trei bahadi trei, v'uki itasal b'cheskes eishesish v'yitei mugureshes klal. Frek Tosfos is a very simple kasha. Back on the first sheet, back on number one. Frek Tosfos is a new kasha. What was the end of our Gemara? The end of our Gemara is, what's the case of half and half, where it's suffocation? We have trei trei. One group of Edom says it was closer to her. One group of Edom says it was closer to him. We don't know what to do, says Tosfos, so she's a suffocating with Gereshes. Frek Tosfos, what? Trei trei. So why don't you just use Cheskas Eishesish? Again, we don't know what to do. You have the case of trei trei, two Edom standing here. You don't know which way. So what do you do in such a case? You throw everyone out. I don't know what to do, so I work with a chazak. What was her status before this whole story started? She was an Eishesish. So she should be a complete Eishesish. Why are we calling her a Suffolk Geirushin? That's Tosfos' kasha. Again, because what would happen between, right after the story happens, what would her status be? If the husband were to die right away. So that according to, if she's talking Eishesish, now she's not a Gerusha. Now she's Almana, or she'd be a Suffolk Gerusha, whether or not she'd be allowed to marry a Kohen. So Tosfos' kasha is part Pasha the Gemara. How do you understand the Gemara? Again, just keep in mind, this is different than the first half of Tosfos. The first half of Tosfos was talking about one group of Edom that wasn't sure. Here we're talking about two groups of Edom that are arguing. Each group is sure what they saw. We're not talking about Tzveikis anymore. Each group is completely sure they're right. They just, we're not sure as the best in who to accept. So Tosfos answers, via Shloimar, Kevin the Tzveika, the Rabbanon he, Kedamina Perek Arba Achin, Nostin Lodin Megureshes Vein Megureshes. Tosfos is referring to a Gemara in Yevamos. There's a Gemara in Yevamos that has a very big machlokes back and forth. Trei utrei deraisa sveika deraisa sveika derabon. That means the following. When you have trei utrei, two groups of Edom giving conflicting reports, what are you supposed to do as a bezdin? So one man down in the Gemara holds trei utrei sveika deraisa. Mid deraisa, you give it a status of suffix and you don't use chazaka. That's mid deraisa. Trei utrei sveika derabon.
And therefore what? You blind with a
and therefore you leave a suffix megoresh, a suffix kedush, and you put both chumers. Mm-hmm. The other sheet in the Gemara holds trei utrei sveika derabon. Means the Araisa, of course you use Chazaka. The Rabbanan said not to use Chazaka, and mid Rabbanan she has a status of a Safik. That's Machloikis and the Gemara. So Tosfos' answer is that we're going like that sheet that holds Trei Utrei Sveika the Rabbanan. And since Trei Utrei is a Sveika the Rabbanan, that's why this woman has a status of Safik. Because Trei Utrei Sveika the Rabbanan.
She has a status of a Safik. Can she marry anyone?
So right now she would be Safik Megoreshes, so she'd have to get another gift from the husband, right? She's stuck. But if the husband were to drop dead right now, she wouldn't be considered divorced either. So,
it would be a
suffer. Very good. That's what I want to get to. Where does the Ramban fall into this case of Trei Utrei? So Tosfos tells us that Trei Utrei, again, this is really a Gemara in Yevamos. The Gemara in Yevamos discusses what do you do with Trei Utrei. So the obvious kasha that everyone should be bothered with is, what's Pshat in the Machlokes? Trei Utrei Midereisa, you don't use Chazaka, why not? Shouldn't this be the greatest case to use Chazaka? You're so unsure what to do, you have no way of being Mevarit, so for sure use Chazaka. Right? Why would there be a mandom in the Gemara that holds trei utrei deraisa sveika?
Because the chazaka is mevar a fact. Here it's a halacha. What does Bezdin do?
So Reb Shimon has a piece over here on the next side. We quoted this already a little bit last week. We'll read it again. Reb Shimon says, what's pshat in this machloek is trei utrei sveika deraisa sveika derabon? What happened to chazakas? So Reb Shimon writes in number 12, he says, v'nir l'niz daiti, tachi pirushim. The b'chol ha-sveikas have a din sveika etzlonu. Most sveikas, the sveika is by us, machmas ha-yediyah. We just don't know. Did this happen? Did that happen? We don't know. The Torah says you prove the suffix with the chazak. This is not a question of who's of what happened. This is a question of what we should do. Why? Because the Torah says she'ain lon v'shus lachriya is a din neged edim because mashal is barim mihem amishakim beidusim. How we're torn. Our hands are mamish locked. We don't know what to do. Reuven and Shimon say one thing, and Yehuda and Levi say something else. Who are we supposed to trust? The Torah says apish shnayim edim yakim dover. What do I do when that comes into conflict? Says Reb Shimon v'zeh bir mashal omu b'gemara sveke day raisa. This is pshat in the Gemara that holds trei u'trei sveke day raisa. She din hasafikum in atayra. She'ain lon v'shus lasa is maisa neged edim. We have no right to do anything connected to one group of Edom. Therefore, says Reb Shimon, you know why trei sveka deraisa? Do you know why we're left with a suffix and we can't use chazaka? It's because using chazaka would be a breach in our pishnayim Edom, yachim dover. Because the Torah says use Edom. I have to use Edom. Which Edom am I supposed to use? It's a circle. I can't use this Edom. I say, you know, let's make her divorce. Well, the Edom says she's not divorced. Well, let's make her not divorced. Well, Edom says she is divorced. I'm pasha torn. Trei betrei sveka deraisa. I'm pasha torn. I don't know what to do. So therefore, says Reb Shimon, I have no right to do something which would be against one of the groups of Edom. Applying cheskas, whatever word, would be going directly against one of the kiti Edom. I have no right to go against Edom.
I don't understand the question. If I got, we learn in Sanhedrin that the Benjamin is supposed to ask questions of the various witnesses who come in. So I have a group of witnesses who says that that this person crossed the street at 3:00, and I have another group of witnesses who says no, they didn't. They crossed it at 3:05, and the car wasn't this way.
Right.
I'm going to question those witnesses. Right. Why isn't Besdin's responsibility to decide who's credible?
They both are good.
Rather than them say, no, why? So they give opposite testimony.
Right.
So now they give opposite testimony. So, okay, I don't know what to do.
Right.
Stop.
No, no, this doesn't happen in a court of law.
No, then there's responsibility is to figure out who's telling the truth.
But it's
like, sometimes
he can. Sometimes.
What do you mean they can't? That's what their obligation.
Why is no one lying? Someone's got to be lying. That's what we're going to see in a second. Someone's going to be lying. Could be mistaken. Could be mistaken. Could be they're trying. You know, there's only so much they can do.
There's different types of fakers.
Yeah.
We're sitting here assuming something. Either she's single, either she's divorced, or...
Well, either closer to her or closer to him.
Right. But maybe when we have trade and trade, it's not that she has elements of both. Like Baina Shmashas, right?
Well, yeah.
Suffolk Yom, Suffolk Lai.
Yeah.
Suffolk. It's not that... You don't use Chazaka. Well, 5 minutes ago it was daytime, and now I'm not sure if it's... So I'm going to say, no. We take the Chumras of both. We take the Chumras by Shabbos, right? We take the Chumras... By the Raisa will be Chavra, and some of their bones will be Mega. But it's not either day or night.
But over here, we're talking about an Aedus.
I think that's what Shimon's getting. You can't use Chazaka here because both she's elements of both now. Because you have two Aedim saying
It sounds like to me, if Shimon's
getting married.
It sounds like to me, if Shimon's point is that I have no right to make a hachra that goes against Aedim. I can't make a psak that's against Aedim. And look where Shimon ends off. So he says, good. So what's pshat if you hold trei u'trei sveka derabanan? That means midaraisa, you do use chazaka. How do you explain that, says Reb Shimon? He says, the last two lines, uman desarve sveka derabanani, the kivin di yadin and the kat echas eide shekerheim. We know someone's lying. Raklo yadin and miheim, havi etzlon usafik b'maisa. So Reb Shimon, that's the other tzad in the Gemara. The other tzad in the Gemara that holds trei sveka derabanan means midaraisa, we use chazaka, is because we know that someone's wrong. Someone's lying. So now it's the pasha of the suffix in a maisa. When you have a suffix in a maisa, you're allowed to use chazak. So if a suffix in a maisa, and that's pshat, and trei, sveka, derisa, sveka, derabanan. The truth is, we're going to have to see, it's on the page, we didn't get to it today. There's a Ran in Ksubis who suggests maybe not that someone's lying, but someone's making a mistake. And there's a mistake making. There's a Ran in Ksubis that has such a possibility that the issue over here is not so much mishake, no one's bad over here, just one's being toya. One wasn't watching as careful as the other one is. We'll have to believe that. We'll see it's negaya to another case of what happens when you have one group of Edom. We never talked about this case yet. One group of Edom where 1:8 says one and 1:8 says the opposite story. What happens then?
So that
we'll see. Billy Nether is a huge machlokes machine.
The
question is that like trey a trey, or is that like the first case we started out with, where two Edom don't know? Billy Nether in two Sundays we'll get to that. Next Sunday, Mr. Shem, we're going to be discussing.